When the Ixion delegation arrived, Aaliyah sat dwarfed on the great crystalline throne and stared at the orange hangings that covered the wall behind the dais. Her coppery hair was secured with golden water rings, pieces of tallying metal that announced to everyone that she, like her brother, considered herself Fremen. Though she heard the commotion as the technocrats entered, she did not turn to see the men. Duncan would have told her never to sit with her back to a door, but Aaliyah considered it symbolic of her disdain for these men. From behind her, the Chamberlain announced the Ixians, and she heard the approaching footsteps. Their shoes made sharp sounds on the hard, polished floor, because by her orders the workers had not laid out a royal carpet. She heard an unevenness, uncertainty in their gait. A standing audience in the huge hall murmured, then grew quiet, curious as to what Aaliyah would do next. Her Amazon guards were stationed as usual and ever alert. She did not know the name of the delegation leader, nor did she care. All technocrats were the same. Since the fall of the ruling House Vernius 7 years earlier, when Bronzo, the last heir, had gone into hiding to promote his sedition, the planet Ix had increased its research and industrial production, with little interest in the politics of the reconstituted Landsrod. She heard the men stop at the base of the dais and shuffle uncomfortably. A clearing throat, the rustle of clothing, and a hint of annoyance in a male voice. "Lady Aaliyah, we have come as you requested." Aaliyah spoke straight ahead to the wall. "And do you know why I summoned you?" A different voice, cooler, more logical. "We can postulate. An Ixion has affronted the Imperial Household. You hope that our Confederacy has information on the whereabouts of Bronzo of Ix." The first voice. "We condemn the actions of the Vernius exile." Aaliyah hardened her tone. "Bronzo Vernius used Ixion technology to bring disaster to my brother's funeral. What other tricks might he use? What technologies have you given him that he intends to turn against me?" "None, my lady. I guarantee that the Technocrat Council had nothing to do with it." She detected no falsehood in his voice. The second voice. "We respectfully ask you to remember that Ix was once a close friend to House Atreides. We hope to re-establish that beneficial alliance." "The Atreides alliance was not with the Technocrat Council," she said, "but with House Vernius. Bronzo himself severed those ties when he was young." "So, you see, my lady, Bronzo has been making unwise decisions for years. He does not represent the best interests of Ix. He is an unwanted remnant of an old time and obsolete ways." "Old and obsolete," Aaliyah thought. "There was a time when my father and Romber Vernius were fast friends, when Ix served the needs of honor, not just commerce and industry. These men have forgotten so much from the days when House Atreides helped restore Vernius to power after the Tleilaxu takeover." "Even so, you must earn your way back into my good graces." She tapped her fingers on the arm of the throne. "Have your representatives bring me new technologies, devices that are not available to anyone else. Duncan Idaho will inspect them for me and decide which can be used to strengthen our regency. When those choices are made, you must grant me exclusive use of the technologies. After you've impressed me, we will see about restoring Ix's standing in my eyes." A slight hesitation, perhaps a silent consultation among the men, and finally, the logical voice said, "The Technocrat Council sincerely appreciates the opportunity, great lady." Memories and lies are painful, but my memories are not lies. Bronzo of Ix, transcript of Death Cell interview. Inside the Highliner's layered decks of public areas and service corridors, the Weiku always provided a place for Bronzo to hide. Feeling an affinity for him, the gypsy-like people who served as guild ship stewards had secretly helped Bronzo since he started his strange quest to destroy the myth surrounding Paul Atreides. Bronzo switched his location from day to day and port to port, taking up temporary residence in unclaimed staterooms or tiny cabins. Always alert and wary, he kept his power usage to a minimum so that guild watchdogs would find nothing amiss. He had been on the run for 7 years, ever since he began distributing his writings. Sometimes he took advantage of well-appointed suites that reminded him of his days in the Grand Palais of Ix as the heir of House Vernius. Even so, Bronzo did not for a moment regret losing his comforts and riches. He had rejected them voluntarily in order to follow a more important calling. The Technocrat Council had corrupted everything that was good and noble on his home world. Now Bronzo was performing vital work, history-making work. In the turmoil that continued to ripple across the uncertain worlds following the death of Muad'Dib, most guild ships were overbooked, and wealthy noble family members fought over the available cabins. On this particular passage, Enzin, one of Bronzo's Weiku allies, had relegated him to a tiny crew cabin that was not listed in any brochure. He didn't complain, since his requirements were few. He needed only a light and a private place to sit while writing his latest condemnations. His struggle against the fanaticism that muddied Paul's legacy always seemed impossible, but he had accepted the task. He was the only man brave enough to criticize Muad'Dib so openly. Bronzo might have been reckless, but he had never been a coward. His Weiku friends sheltered, protected, and aided him. As an itinerant class of workers, solicitous, unnoticed, and unassuming, they possessed no real identity as far as the Imperium was concerned. When he and young Paul Atreides had first met these wayfarers 19 years ago, Bronzo had not expected to enlist them as such dedicated allies. Now they quietly secreted his heretical tracts among the belongings of random travelers so that the publications appeared on other planets, seemingly without any point of origin. People needed to know the truth, needed skepticism to counterbalance the nonsense that Irulan had put forth as the life of Muad'Dib. To him had fallen the task of swinging the pendulum in the opposite direction. To accomplish that, he had to commit the words to paper. His statements needed to be infuriating, irrefutable, and compelling. Throughout the bloody jihad and Aaliyah's recent crackdowns, the people accepted repression in the name of orthodoxy because Paul had allowed his Fremen bureaucracy to become a ravenous cancer. Bronzo recognized that Paul had at times made attempts to rein in the excesses, but the warfare and fanaticism, like the mythology that deified him, had taken on a life of its own. Exhausted, frightened people forgot the truth so easily. Paul's apologists rewrote history and expunged the direst events from the official record. The horrific battles, the sterilization of entire planets, the mass murder of monks in the Lankavale Monastery. With so much privation and such a scattering of peoples, who would question histories kept by the official purveyors of truth? Who would gainsay a source as unimpeachable as the Princess Irulan herself, wife of Muad'Dib? Surely her accounts must be the true version, the way history really occurred. But it was not so, and Bronzo had to continue the attempt to correct the record. It was a matter of honor, and he had given his word. His Weiku companion Enzin had brought him food, but Bronzo was not hungry. In his cramped cabin, he sat on an uncomfortable metal bench, leveled the writing surface, and sank into his memories. By the light of a low-power glow globe, he laid crime after crime at Muad'Dib's feet. Each damning line was like the crack of a flagellant's whip. Only by stripping away the softening untruths, only by laying bare the callous acts committed in the name of Muad'Dib, only by making the human race aware of the appalling crimes that Paul had unleashed, could Bronso accomplish what was necessary to preserve the future of mankind. May God save us from a messiah of our own making. As he wrote, the images of those events screamed behind his eyes. Oh, Paul, my friend. He continued to write, and tears streamed down his face.